verse number 20 of the first chapter of Proverbs. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying. We're going to stop reading there because we're going to read in just a few moments anyway those scriptures. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful grace and your wonderful mercy to us, and thank you for the blessed book, the Word of God. Once again tonight, this preacher, Father, your servant needs your help, needs you to do it through him. I need your power. And Father, I ask you for it. Ask you, Father, for the wisdom of God tonight. I need your wisdom. And Father, I need the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And I pray for us all to have attentive ears to thy word and what you say. And Father, what is best and right concerning this subject tonight. And Lord, we'll praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Lord willing, tonight we're going to bring a message which we've entitled Firm and Consistent. Firm and Consistent. We're going to deal with basically family life again tonight that might help us in understanding the awesome responsibility that we have in raising a family. Now, I think you know that. I really do. But I also know that when I was going through raising a family, it just seemed like everything was just on a kind of a treadmill, and you were just always busy and going and doing this and that. And a lot of times you don't really sit down and realize the awesome responsibility that you have. And I think I realize it more the older I get than I did when I was basically going through it. But I'm hoping to maybe stir your hearts tonight to help you. These are not just messages for people who's raising family. These are for grandma and grandpas too. These are for us, because they'll help us. They'll be a blessing to us in helping with our grandchildren and putting some principles into them. I'm going to go down through the book of Proverbs here in chapter 1 in just a few moments, and we'll come back to our text and look at that. But I want to make a few opening remarks. One of the reasons I believe that there's such a need today is because there's family breakdown just everywhere you look. I mean, it is everywhere. And you understand that. You know that if you've just looked around a little bit. You understand. You know that the breakdowns are occurring just on a high ratio, seem like everywhere in America. That's between husbands and wives, and it's also between parents and children. There's a great breakdown of unity in the family. And we may live under the same roof, but there seems to be a lot of conflict. Now, let me preface all of this by saying that may not be true in your home. I'm not saying that. If you're taking biblical principles and putting them into your home, you may not have all the conflicts that everybody else has. But let me say to you, there's a lot of conflicts in homes today. And I mean a lot of them. So I think we need to do our best to correct them. Children are growing up and they're being resentful of their parents. They're being scornful of them. And even sometimes they come to the place where they hate their parents. I mean, they literally hate their parents, despise and hate their parents. Parents are disappointed. They're frustrated. They're brokenhearted. And they wring their hands and they say, goodness sakes, what is wrong? What have we done? They don't know what to do. I mean, they don't seem to have the answers. And they say many times, and I've had many of them say this to me, look, we did the very best we could with our family. And let me say something there. And again, please, please understand something. I'm not condemning anybody. I was a parent. And I know how difficult it is to get everything right when you're a parent. I understand that, and I do. But let me say something to you. Most of the time, we are not doing everything we could to build our family right. When people say, I did everything I could, and everything turned out wrong, that is not true. Because the Word of God tells us if we will train them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord, if we'll train them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart from it. Now listen to me. I'm not condemning anybody. I made my mistakes. You'll make yours. But listen, God's word is absolutely true. A person came to John R. Rice one time and was talking to him. In fact, it was a pastor. And he said, I want to just tell you something. He said, I used to preach that, but I don't preach anymore. It didn't work. He said it just didn't work. He said, we done everything we could to train our children, and they didn't. And this boy did not turn out right. Well, so John R. Rice began to question him. And I don't remember all the details about it, but he began to question him. He said, listen, God's word is either true or it isn't. One or the other. And I believe that's true. If John 3:16 is true, so is Proverbs 22:6. I mean, amen? It is true. It's all true. And so he began to question him and go back. And this man had tried very hard to do some things. But when he began to question him about some of the things, about teaching the Word of God in his home and about setting some standards and convictions in his home and setting some things straight, he found out that the man did not do it. The man finally come to repentance and said, you know, I didn't do everything I could. What we've got to do is realize, and that's not trying to condemn anybody, that's simply saying, let's go back and let's face the truth. If we didn't do it right, it isn't going to be turned out right. And that problem then falls back on the shoulders here of old Dad, especially, and let me say Dad and Mom, but especially Dad, because he's the leadership of the home. And that's let's just go back to that, and let's just get the truth out in the open and say what it is. And where we fail, we have failed. And admit to God we failed concerning that thing. Because if we do it right, God says it'll turn out right. Doesn't He? Sure He does. And I believe God's Word tonight. So we just need to kind of remember that. Most of the time, we parents, most of the time, have not done everything we could to raise our family the way we ought to raise them. Most of the time, that is true. Okay? Now, parents are only kidding themselves when they neglect to take the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, the precepts of the Word of God, and begin to learn them and teach them and put them into practice in their family. We're only kidding ourselves. We think we can learn how to do it ourselves. We can come up with some kind of plan that we know of, that we've got it all figured out, that if we do this or that, it'll all turn out all right. But God's the only one's got the plan that'll be correct and right, okay? That doesn't mean necessarily you're going to turn out some kind of a bum or some kind of a brat. That doesn't necessarily mean that. But it is saying this, if you don't do it God's way, and I don't do it God's way, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a lot of faults in them young people. You know why? Because we haven't done it God's way. God's way is the right way. And it is the only way. Now, I believe something. I know there is families all over this town, and there's families even in our church that are having family problems. When I say family problems, I'm not talking about necessarily my husband and wife. I'm talking about raising their children. They're having problems with their children, having this and that. And you know what? Where are they tonight? You know what? I know. And yet they won't take time out to come to the house of God to learn the principles of God's Word and some things that they need to do to raise their families right. They won't even take the time to do it, let alone take the time to practice it. They won't even take time to learn it, to hear about it, and see what God says about it. Well, the Bible tells us this. In the verses that I begin to read to you, he says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her word, saying. Wisdom, of course, speaks of Christ. Christ is complete and full wisdom. God wants us to be filled with wisdom. He wants us to have the wisdom of God. There's only one way you can get God's wisdom, and that is from God. You must ask God for it. You don't just go down and buy it, get it somewhere. You must ask God for it. Now listen to what he says. Here's what she's crying. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorner delight in his scorning, and fools hate knowledge? I say to you tonight, there's a multitude of people who hate knowledge. They wouldn't come to the house of God to hear messages on rearing their children for nothing in the world. They wouldn't do that because they've got their own plan. They've got their own ideas. Even though it's failing, it makes no difference. They've got their own plan. They hate knowledge. And God says, where are the simple? What is the matter? How long are you going to be simple like that and not want the knowledge of God? And he goes on and he says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He's wanting people to turn at his reproof. He said, I'll give you what you need. I'll give you the words. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when destruction and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And again, we are raising children today contrary to the Word of God, and then we get down to where we've lost our children, we don't understand it, and we look, turn around and say, what happened? What is wrong? And God says, what was wrong is you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of God. Now, folks, if there's ever a day when we need to raise our children according to the Word of God, it's today. There is so much going on out there. I mean, it is pathetic what's going on out there. And we must raise our children not the way you think is right, but the way God says is right, you see. And we've got to get back to that. And the only way you're going to be able to raise those children is you're going to have to seek the wisdom of God Almighty to do it. You're going to have to search for it, as the Bible speaks about, as you would for hidden treasure. You know, I read here some time back about treasure hunters, and they go out in these oceans, and they'll search for years sometimes to find just this treasure, the ship that has been sunk years and years ago, and they'll search for years to find that. God is saying that's the way you ought to seek after wisdom. You ought to search for it and seek for it and ask for it and not give up, because it's a greater treasure than any of gold and silver that you'll ever have. And so we need wisdom today. We need God's wisdom to raise families. And yet multitudes of families won't even take time to go to a house of God and hear a simple preacher preach a simple message, to hear a little bit that might help them in raising their families. They won't search diligently for the wisdom they need to raise their families. And I say today we need wisdom. So there's two things tonight we're going to look at, and I believe they will help determine what kind of a children you raise. The first one is this. You must be firm in your approach to child raising. We'll talk about this for a while, but you must decide and must determine to be firm. Listen to me. The word firm means not yielding easily under pressure. It means solid, hard, not moving or shaken easily. Nor shaken, easily fixed, not fluctuating, steady as a firm price, constant, showing determination, final, definite as a firm contract. I got that out of Webster's dictionary. That's what it says firm means. When you go out, I don't know about you, but I like a firm mattress. I want a hard mattress. When you talk about a firm mattress, that means it's hard. Okay? It doesn't give easily. You understand? And the word firm is telling us that we got to decide some things about child raising. We have got to decide that we're going to be firm. Now you say, Brother Ross, where do you get this? How do you know that that's correct? Because that's the way God deals with us. And however God deals with us, that's the way we ought to deal with our children. Listen, have you ever known God to make empty threats or promises? Does God say, I'm going to tell you, if you don't quit that, I'm going to give you a good whipping, and then not give it to you? Does he ever give us empty threats and promises that he does not keep? We've got to set some things in our life and have some commitments. Now, I know we're not God, but we get our principles and precepts from God. The way he deals with us is the way we're to deal with our children. Okay, and I realize he deals in love, but let me tell you something. God deals firmly with us. If you don't believe that, you either haven't been saved very long or you're mistaken what in the world's going on. Because God does deal firmly with his children. And listen, in Hebrews 10:23, listen to what he said. He is faithful that promised. In other words, when God promises something, he does not back off. He is faithful. Listen to what he says in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know what? God promised eternal life before the world began. Will he give it? That's where tonight I can stand here and say, look, I have eternal life. You have eternal life if you know Jesus Christ. How? Because God promised it. And you know it's going to come true because God promised it. And God is teaching us that we ought to also do things like that with our children. When we deal with our children, deal with our family, deal with other people, we ought to do it in truth and honesty. And we'll talk about honesty in just a minute. But we ought to do that in firmness, keeping that which we have promised to do. Parents, listen, when you make empty threats and promises to your children, it's when you get right down to it, when we do that, it's nothing but lying. When you say, I'm going to tell you, if you don't quit that, I'm going to give you a good whipping, and then 10 times later you're still saying, if you don't quit that, I'm going to give you a good whipping, you just lied 9 times. I mean, amen? There has to be some firmness. There has to be some decision, standards set to where you're going to do, go, what you're going to hold to. You've got to do that. And when you make also promises to your children, we ought to do everything under the sun. I realize God is God, and He can always keep His promises. But unless it's something just that absolutely hinders us, providentially hinders us, when we make a promise, we ought to keep it to our children. You understand? In James 1:17, it says this, in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of a turning. In other words, in God there's no ups and downs. Everything is just right down the line. Amen? In other words, don't be wishy-washy. Amen? He's telling us in Romans 4:21, what He has promised, He will also perform. What God says, what He promises, He'll do it. Amen? So I'm saying to you, listen, you want to be careful. Honestly, you do. You want to be careful even how you threaten your children. I don't believe threatening is the way to do it, but you ought to be careful what you say to them. You ought to say, boy, if you do this, I'm going to give you a good smacking. Well, maybe they don't deserve a good smacking. Maybe some other things can take care of that problem before you get to the smacking. Amen? But I'm going to tell you this. If you tell them they're going to get a spanking, you ought to give it to them. Amen? You ought to give it to them. Brother Whitman was telling me the other day, I don't think he'd mind me telling you, he has a boy, his oldest boy is 17 years old. And he said, Brother Rawson, he was asking me some things about this. He said, you've been there. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, my boy got a little lippy the other day. 17-year-old. And he said, he started smarting off to me and got a little lippy. He said, so he said he kept it up. And he said, I said, get up in your room. So he went up in his room. And he said, when we got up there, he said, son, he said, I will not put up with this. You cannot do that. And I won't do it. You've done it in front of not only your mom and dad, you've done it in front of the brothers and sisters. And he said, I will not do that. Now bend over that bed. He went, Dad, are you kidding? He said, no, I'm not kidding. Bend over that bed. And he said he'd give him a good whacking. I mean a good one. And he said he got up and he acted a little bit cocky. He said, bend over again. And he gave him a good one. A 17-year-old boy, he said, the next day, I'm telling you, his spirit had mellowed. He said he was a different boy. Now you say, do you want to spank a 17-year-old boy? He told me, he said, I didn't want to spank him. He said, I didn't want to do that. You know what I heard? I can't remember who it was. Somebody told me, but I thought it was good. Someone told me that this woman spanked her daughter on her wedding day. Said she was so up in there and just, she was so nervous and a wreck. I think my wife told me about this and she was just doing things and saying things. And she said, come here. And she just pulled her across her lap and just gave her a good spanking. And she said she got up and hugged her mama. Amen. You know, what I'm just simply saying to you is, though, there's just times when you, if you promised it, you do it. You see, you've got to be firm and consistent in the way you deal with your children. In Isaiah 46:11, he says, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. What I'm doing is trying to give you some scriptures to show you that when God says He'll do something, He does it. And we ought to follow the example of God. Amen? Right? Now, if we get all wishy-washy and we won't follow through with what we said we will do, what has those young people got to stand on? You understand? I'm trying to show you that that's the way God deals with His children. And if God deals with His children like that, we ought to deal with ours like that. Amen? He's trying to teach us these things. Now, God also tells us to be honest. I want you to read some scripture to you. In Romans 12:17, He says, provide things honest in the sight of men. That is a command of God. He says, provide things honest in the sight of men. There's another verse in 2 Corinthians 8:21 that says this, provide for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So God is telling us we ought to be honest in God's sight. That means when no one else is watching but God. And we also ought to also be honest in the sight of men. The reason I'm bringing this out, because it's very important that we be honest with our children. We be honest with them. Don't stretch the truth and don't tell some big whopper or something. Be honest with them and truthful with them and firm with them. In 2 Corinthians 13:7, he says, do that which is honest. Now remember something. One of the important things to remember is that we ought to be honest because our kids are watching. And we ought to be honest. Amen? We ought to set the example of honesty before our young people. How can we expect them to be honest if we're not going to be honest? You see, once again, honesty, you see, is commanded of the Lord. He tells us to be honest. Honesty simply means doing what we say we will do. Dishonesty in parents will cause children to resent you. If they see dishonesty in you, they will come to a place where they will resent that. They'll lose respect, and they'll also disregard whatever you say. They're looking for a fence that will not move, and they're looking for an honest fence. Amen? That is truthful and firm. They want something that will not move. You've heard the illustration. I've probably given it here. I don't know, but you've heard that illustration about the little poodle that was inside the fence, chain link fence, and he was a yapping and a barking at this big pit bull on the outside. I mean, he just yapped up a storm. That pit bull was just growling at him, and he was on the inside of that fence just a yapping and a yapping and a yapping. As long as he was on the inside of that fence, he was all right. You know that's the way your children feel? But I want to tell you, if he got out of that fence, that pit bull would have had him for dinner. And I'm simply saying to you folks, listen, there's a fence that needs to be set for your children. There's some fences that you've got to set for them. You've got to protect them. You've got to do that. I don't care what the world says about it. You've got to set some fences that will protect them. You are the parents. There's a lot of pit bulls out there just waiting to devour your children. And I'm not talking about literal dogs. I'm talking about old Satan. Amen. They may be out there too, but I'm talking about old Satan. Amen. And I'm saying to you, you've got to set some fences. That's why the parents are there, is to set some fences for them, to be firm and honest. Now, when lack of firmness and lack of honesty is present, things begin to deteriorate. And I want to kind of go down through and show you what happens as it kind of falls and deteriorates in the life. First of all, what happens when there is not firmness and there is not honesty? They will lose respect. Let me ask you a question, you as an adult. If you know someone who is habitually lying to you, and you know they tell untruths all the time, do you have respect for them? Well, you know you don't. Now, do you think that your children are going to have the respect they ought to have for you if they catch you constantly telling things and lying to them about things and not being firm and consistent in the rules that you have set? Do you think they will respect you? No, they'll lose their respect. And then what will happen is bitterness toward that parent will begin to crop up in that heart. And they'll get bitter at the parent. And then you'll pretty soon have no communication whatsoever between them, because they don't believe you anyway and they're not talking. You talk about a communication gap and things like that, that all comes because they've lost respect. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying the children are doing right in all this. I'm simply saying if you want the respect of your children and you don't want them bitter at you, you're going to have to be firm and consistent and honest and loving to those children. And you're going to have to toe the line. Understand? Then not only that, pretty soon after no communication, they begin to develop an ungrateful spirit. Have you noticed ungratefulness in your children's lives? If you have, deal with that quickly and find out what the root of it is, where it's coming from. It just doesn't all at once develop. It's there for a reason. And so when you see an ungratefulness, because listen, young people ought to be grateful just like we ought to be grateful to our wonderful Heavenly Father. Our children ought to be grateful to their parents. They'll be thankful and grateful to their parents. And when you see that ungrateful spirit begin to rise its ugly head, you better be careful. Something is happening and it's been developing for a while, and you ought to check it out and see what it is that is going on. And then stubbornness sets in, and they begin to reject the authority over them. And they get stubborn. And they reject the authority of the parents. And then what you and I usually do when that happens is you begin to gripe and fuss and threaten to get them to obey. You know, when you have to threaten and gripe and threaten to get someone to obey, you've really lost along the way somewhere. And I've tried, over the years, I've learned this even in church. It took me a while to learn this. If I have to make people do something, I don't care. I may get the job done, but I'll guarantee you it's not going to be done correctly, and it's not done with the right spirit. When I have to force people, I may tell you what needs to be done, and I may talk to you about it, I may shame you sometime in not doing it, but I can't force you to do anything. I want you to do it because you love Jesus. And if you do it because you love Jesus, you'll do it. Yes, you will. You'll do it because you love the Lord, and you'll do it. And you won't do it just because some preacher is happened to constantly badger to get things done. But if you love Jesus, you'll get the job done. Amen? Yes, you will. You will get the job done if you love Jesus. You know it's God's work, and you may not be able to do it all, but you'll do your part. Amen? You'll do your part. Now, what happens then is open rebellion. And the child then wants an equal voice in the home. He figures he has a right to say as much as anybody else. And let me say to you, most, many, many homes are that way. Children speak up, children determine, children decide what is right and what is wrong, what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And that is wrong, let me say to you, according to the Scriptures, that is absolutely wrong. Parents are supposed to decide that. They are the ones that run that home, not the children. And then, you know what will happen? They'll begin to mix with the wrong crowd. Watch very carefully who your children run around with. Watch who they choose, their friends. Protect them and do not let them get with the wrong crowd. Let me tell you, when you see a young person who is the wrong kind of person, they are in a state of rebellion. Or they would not be choosing that kind of friends. They would be choosing spiritual friends. And what I'm saying is, it's a good thing to look around and see what is happening. Amen. Where's your child at? Why is he doing this? Why does he want to run around with somebody who's out here that does wicked things? Why do they want to do that? You see, there's some things wrong when they want to do that. And then he begins to set himself up as the authority for his own life. In other words, he doesn't think parents do have anything to say about it. He don't think God has anything to say about it. He sets himself up as the authority in his life. I will decide what is best at that point in his life. And then he begins to fulfill the sensual desires, begins to go out in sin and get into sin and deep sin. And then what he'll do is this. He'll begin to condemn others and point out hypocrites all around him. He'll say, well, Mom and Dad, do you see so-and-so in the church? Has your children ever done that? There's a state of rebellion in that child when he does that, because he's then getting his eyes on the hypocrites. I'm not saying there's not hypocrites in the church. They may be hypocrites in the church, but that has nothing to do with the way we are to serve God. I don't care how many hypocrites are in this church. It doesn't change my position. It doesn't change my service of God. Amen? And if there's hypocrites in the church, so be it. They need to get right with God and do right. But that should not change our service for God. But what will happen is these young people begin to look around and pick out certain people in the church and say, look at this person, look at that person, and they're trying to draw attention away from themselves. What we need to do is get back to saying, hey, how about you, bud? What's your problem? About time you got straightened up. Amen? So that's what happened. Then what happens is a deeper guilt down in deep. It gets deeper and deeper, and they go into deeper sin. And let me say to you, there usually is where suicide comes into the picture. Do you understand how many teenagers are committing suicide? I do not have all the statistics, but I know about 5 years ago, there was somewhere around 10,000 teenagers that committed suicide. Because they come to the point, you see, they don't want to really be like that. They want somebody to set some standards for them. Oh, no, if you ask them, they wouldn't say that. But it's exactly what they needed. There is multitudes and multitudes of young people, teenagers, committing suicide today. They are frustrated. They don't know what to do. And they need a parent that steps out and says, look, this is the way it's going to be in our house. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm going to help you. And the things I'm doing is for you and to help you to live the right kind of life and love God and serve God. I'm going to be the parent, but I'm going to love you and help you. And then when suicide comes along, parents are shocked and grieved and frustrated. They don't know how to handle it. And if it had been me, I wouldn't know it either. I don't know how they handle things like that. I would think that would be one of the most deepest hurts that there could ever be, to have a child commit suicide. I think that would be horrible and hurtful. And I don't know how for sure you'd handle all that. You'd have to just trust God with it. But I'm saying to you, you know where that all started? It all started back, way back somewhere in that life of that child and in them parents' relationship with that child, where they weren't firm and honest with that child. And they didn't set some standards for him and help for him. You understand what I'm saying? There's got to be some firmness, and you've got to be firm about the things that you're going to set up in your home and you're going to establish in your home. You're going to have to be firm about that. Now, we'll talk about the other side in just a moment, but permissiveness, let me say to you, says this. I can do anything I want to do. Mom and Dad really doesn't care. In other words, there is no absolute truth. You're telling that child, if he can be permissive, he can do anything he wishes. There is no absolute truth. Listen to me. You and I must set some convictions in our life. We must have convictions in our family life. There is certain things that we do and certain things we do not do. Period. We don't do them. And those convictions must be based upon the principles and precepts of the Word of God. The reason we don't do it is because this is against God's Word, and God would not be pleased with this. Amen? And so we're not going to do this. We're going to go the extra mile. Why walk that silly line? And all you have to do is make one Miss Bobble and you're over on the other side. Why not get on over on the right-hand side and get over there and walk away from that line over there and walk right and true? And somebody says, well, you're going overboard. I'd rather go overboard than underboard. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, they at least know where you stand. You know what I've had since before I even come back? I had school children that down, and when we had the school before here, some of them young men that at that time practically despised me. Because they couldn't stand what I stood for, and I made them toe the line. I had them come to me afterwards and say, Brother Ross, I want to tell you this, we at least knew where you stood. And I've had them thank me for standing. And they said, you know what, this wishy-washy stuff is no good. They said, we knew where you stood, and you stood for it. And I want to tell you something, they'll appreciate that, and you moms and dads, your children appreciate that if you'll stand for something. Just stand for something, you see. What you're going to do if you let your children live permissive lives and do whatever they want to do, you're going to raise something. You're going to raise selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate, sensual brats. Permissiveness will do that, and that's exactly what you'll turn out. You say, well, now my children's all right now. How are they going to be when they get out of school? What are they going to do when they grow up and get on their own? What are they going to do then? Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to be firm and consistent. Now listen, I'm not saying be unfair, cruel, harsh. I'm saying be tender, compassionate. I'm saying show justice. I'm saying be merciful, but firm. And let me say to you, you can do both. And you must do both. You must be compassionate. You must be tender. You must be kind and gracious. You must show them you love them. But let me say to you, love is not letting them do anything they want to do. That is not love. Never has been and never will be. Does God let you do everything He wants you want to do? Does God just say, okay, just go on, go do everything you want to do. It's all right. No, He does not. He puts some restrictions and some standards and says, this is what way I want you to live. Doesn't He? Certainly does. And that's the way you do your children. You put some standards out there and convictions out there that this is where we're going. We're not going any further. This is the way we're going to live as a family. Every family, whether you know it or not, is known by the convictions they have. You will determine that. You will decide that. Your family will be known for what, whether you're a liberal or whether you're a fundamentalist, whether you stand for things or whether you've got convictions or whether you don't have convictions. You'll be known for that. Quickly, be consistent. God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. Now, if God changes not, does He not want us to be also consistent in our actions? I'm not talking about changing things that need to be changed. I'm talking about things that we have settled, we have decided, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way, and then not change. Do you know that children become confused when there's inconsistency? They don't know what to do. They're told something is wrong one day and allowed to do it the next. They're told that not to do something bad and then they see their parents do it. That's confusion. They say you ought not to get into those drugs. You ought not to do that. You ought not to ever get into drugs. And here's Daddy smoking a cigarette while he's telling his son he ought not to be into drugs. That won't work. I mean, amen? That thing just won't work, you see. You see, parents, don't you understand? Children need you and I as examples to follow. They need us as examples to follow. We have got to be firm and consistent. Story I read a long time ago was about this little boy, or this man. He lived next door to a tavern. There was a big snow on. You may have heard that. But he decided to go over to the tavern and get him something to drink. And so he started walking through the snow across over to the tavern. He thought he heard something behind him. He turned around and there was his little boy. And his little boy was taking great big steps, trying to step in the big steps of where he stepped in the snow. He turned around and looked and said, "Oh my God. He's following in my steps." Well, let me say to you, my friend, they will. That's right. They will. They're going to exactly follow in the steps that we give for them. We've got to set an example for them. We've got to set some standards and convictions for them. Do you know your child won't hate you for being honest and fair in your discipline, even though it may be firm? They may get aggravated at you sometime, and they may think you're the hardest guy I ever lived, but I'll tell you what, down the road, you'll find out something. You'll find out they'll respect you for it. Yes, they will. Down the road, they'll respect you for it. But if you're not honest and if you're not firm, if you're not consistent, I'll guarantee you there'll be no respect. In Proverbs 29:17, it says this, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." The Word of God says to correct thy son, and he'll give you rest. Amen. What I've tried to tell parents down the road is this. Folks, young people, do it while you're young, while your children are young, because one of these days you'll have the peace and rest of God, and you won't be fighting all those battles when they get older. Well, I didn't say you wouldn't fight some, but you will be fighting all those battles. Make them toe the line from young age. Be firm and consistent from early age, and then when they get up and they begin to live for God and do right, you'll be able to sit back and say, "Thank God for that. It wasn't necessarily you that done it, but it was you putting into practice the principles of the Word of God. And God was able to do it." So I'm saying to you, be firm, be consistent, be honest with your children, and raise them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Don't be afraid to set some standards and convictions and say, "This is where we live, folks. This is it." Did you know a lot of families, in all seriousness, you know a lot of families live day by day and decide their convictions on a daily basis? Something comes up and they say, "Well, I wonder if we ought to do this." "Well, I don't know. Maybe it won't hurt." Well, no. There ought to be some standards. The Word of God backing up. Say, "Well, what would this do according to the Word of God? Would this be right? Would this be against the principles we've set up for our home? If it's against it, you don't do it." Amen. I'm saying to you, be firm, be consistent, be honest with your children. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love for us and your kindness to us. And Father, help these folk. Help them as they raise their families. Help us as grandparents to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement that we might also do right. In Jesus' name, amen.